The question that Jesus poses to the disciples tonight is a very common question. We hear it all the time. Who do people say that I am? There are politicians that pay millions of dollars so that you know who they are. You can tell us who they are by what they want you to know. The good things, the things they think are going to be, get them votes or whatever. Celebrities do the same thing. Companies do the same thing. Products do the same thing. They try to form the idea of who they are so that you will either vote for them, buy their product, see their movies, listen to their songs, whatever it is that they want you to do with this, who do you say that I am question. And the disciples tonight answer Jesus very directly. He says, who do everybody say that I am? And I think even the disciples kind of give him a nice kind of sugar-coated answer, right? All the answers they give are really good. Well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Remembering that there was no internet, there were no pictures of John the Baptist. So, you know, Jesus was doing what John the Baptist did. He was preaching repentance of sins. He was curing the sick. He was baptizing. He was doing all the things John the Baptist did. And so it was a legitimate answer. Some say you're Elijah. That's even a better answer because in the Jewish tradition, Elijah was going to come back and lead the people of Israel to the promised eternity, the kingdom of God that they had been promised, right? That place at the Passover, always ready for the return of Elijah. That was actually a pretty good compliment. Some say Jeremiah. If you know the history of Jeremiah, you know that Jeremiah said some pretty hard things to Israel. Jesus is saying some pretty hard things to Israel. Or just one of the other prophets. He's a great preacher, right? He has a prophetic voice. Yeah, maybe he's a prophet. You know, who knows? But, you know, hey, maybe he is. But we have to also remember that they were calling him other names too. They were calling him a drunkard. They were calling Jesus someone who ate and kept the company of prostitutes, who sat with tax collectors, who touched the unclean. These were insults of the greatest magnitude. So Jesus was not just being called the nice things, who do you say that I am, but they could have sat there and said, Jesus, you know, some people call you a revolutionary. Some people call you a crowd disturber. Some people call you this and this and this and this and this. And then Jesus says, okay, that's what everybody's saying about me. Now, who do you say that I am? And Peter has this moment of clarity and grace where God speaks through him. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And as St. Paul said in his second letter, that didn't come from our wisdom, but from the wisdom that is infused to us by God to speak those prophetic, those profound, those wonderful blessing words where we sit back and go like, I have no idea where that came from. And yet I just said it. And it's true, and I know it's true to the deepest part of my heart, that yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my companion on this journey of life. And Peter can say that, not because God magically touched him, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, Peter, walking with Jesus these years of ministry, has come to know the very heart of who Jesus is. When he sees Jesus, yes, he sees a prophetic man. He sees a wonder worker, a healer. He sees a person who sits with sinners, dines in the company of prostitutes. He sees all of that. And yet he can see the heart of Jesus, what Jesus' message is, which is that of salvation, that of the kingdom of God coming to the present time. And Peter is able to say with a clear and certain voice, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Can we say the same thing? Is that something that we truly believe? Do we say as we come forward to communion, I am going to receive the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is going to change my life. Am I going to say as I go forth from this church, I'm going to carry Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God, into the world, witnessing to his love, his mercy, his power, by my very actions. Because in this time, in this place, just like when Jesus walked the earth, just like the 2,000 years since then, when we ask people, who is Jesus? Who do you say that he is? We get a lot of the same answers again. I was a nice guy. He was a great moral teacher. I don't even know if he existed, but hey, you know, they tell some great stories about him. We can only, with St. Peter, testify to the truth of who Jesus is when we truly spend time with him, when we walk with him, when we talk with him, when we sit in wonder and watch the awe of the miracles that surround us each and every day of our lives. When we spend time in the presence of Jesus in prayer, in service, and in sacrifice, we discover the reality of who Jesus is, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we don't do that by human means. Lots of people feed the poor. Lots of people clothe the naked. Lots of people care for the sick. But we as Christians do it because we see the presence of Jesus Christ in our brothers and sisters. And we are drawn to that presence because in that presence we find the peace, the joy, and yes, the salvation that draws us into the kingdom ever deeper. Where rather than seeing the terrible things of the world as things that can never be cured, the things that must be somehow violently stamped out, we see the problems of the world and we see Christ in there, and we go in there with love and with blessing and with peace. We go in there with words of grace. And we can only do that when we choose to walk with Jesus. Now, the hard part, of course, is that, well, I know that Jesus is here with me, but I'm human, darn it, right? I can't, right? It's hard. Peter had a great advantage over us. He could touch him and he could listen to him while he was sleeping at night. If Jesus snored, he could hear Jesus snore, right? He could do all those things. He could eat with him. He could laugh with him. He could play with him. He could fish with him. He could do all those things. Well, it's hard for me to do that. And yet I do that when I walk with my brothers and sisters in faith. That's why we come to church. That's why Jesus says to us, wherever two or three of you gathered in my name, I'm going to be there with you. Not because I can see the person of Jesus Christ, but because I can see Jesus Christ in you. And you, hopefully, you can see Jesus in me, I pray. That is the spiritual journey that we are on, not alone, not journeying to something far off that we hope we can, when we get there it's real, but rather the spiritual journey where we walk with our brothers and sisters in the presence of Jesus Christ, because through our faith we can see Christ in one another. Whether it be our wife or husband sitting next to us, our mother and father, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, the poorest of the poor we meet on the street, the person who gives us that waving sign of love in the cutting us off in the car. Wherever it is, we see Jesus and we walk in unity with him, because that is where we discover that ability and that joy of serving and loving and caring. The mercy that God extends to us, that spiritual companionship that allows us to be in the presence of the one true living God each and every moment of our lives.
No matter who or no matter where we are or who we are with. Because as we carry Jesus there, we recognize his presence within our brothers and sisters. We recognize his presence within all circumstances and all places. And we go there in joy. We go there in love. That's our challenge. That's the mission that Jesus sends us on each and every day. That mission of unity, where we come forward to receive him and then go forward to invite others into his presence in the deep and profound service of God. That mission of invitation, where Jesus will say to Peter at the end of this gospel, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go, baptizing them, bringing them to this table of blessing. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to walk into our homes and say, come with me and hear the good news. Share with me this table of blessing, this altar of sacrifice. And be with me in this great act, this great drama of love that God invites us to participate in. Where he says to us, who do you say that I am? And our response is,